All right, today we're doing maintenance. Can't wait to see my maintenance girls. See what y'all want to chat about. Let me pull up the Q&A and let me pull up the chat. Hang on. I have got so many things on my computer working right now. It is crazy. So I have to like move my things around. All right, Coach Lizzie is coming up. She will be with me. And it looks like Stephanie wants to get coached. I'm gonna go ahead and promote you. I didn't change my outfit. I just put on a jacket. So Chris turned the air conditioning way down. So now it's 68 degrees in here. So it was 74 under the lights. So I put on a jacket so that I wouldn't be so cold. All right. There we go, Stephanie. If you want coaching, raise your hand or put some questions in the Q&A for me to answer. Because y'all said, Corinne, we just had a coaching call with you. Our life would be amazing. And if I have these calls and y'all don't come here and raise your fucking hand, I'm going to go into y'all's Facebook group and throat punch some of y'all. So ask and you shall receive. All right. What you need help with, Stephanie?
Hi, good morning. And I want to thank you so much for No BS, for starting No BS, because for the first time in my life, I feel a lot of hope about this. And so
Awesome.
just thank you so much.
Well, thank you for telling me that.
So I wrote this down to stay organized. So I'm in maintenance. And I joined No BS, unfortunately, not until I was in maintenance. And so I didn't lose my weight in me. And when I was needing to lose weight, I didn't lose with No BS. But
That's okay.
I'm having a hard time with trusting my hunger and enough signals. So a couple of reasons. When I was 15, I was anorexic, and then I went into binging, and then at that point, I started on an appetite suppressant, Vyvanse, and then to manage that, and then I tried to go off of it and gain a whole bunch of weight. And this was recently. And so I went on a GLP-1 and then got that weight off. So I've been off of the GLP-1 for 3 weeks because I'm wanting to get pregnant.
Okay.
And I have a lot of fear that I'm not eating enough because when I was losing, I had listened to an endocrinologist talking about how it was important to eat enough food, or else the body switches over into starvation mode and it damages your metabolism, and something I'm trying to heal. And so when I was losing, I used MyFitnessPal calorie counting based on my total body energy expenditure
Yeah.
calculation. And so when I follow my hunger and enough, and I'm writing my plan down, I kind of automatically switch into when I look at it, I'm like, this isn't enough calories. I like ballpark. I pretty much, when you're a calorie counter, you can see something and you know how many it's going to be. And
Oh, yeah. I still could probably tell you the calories in almost every fucking thing I eat for all the years that I counted calories. And even now, I'm just curious. I always look when I buy stuff, I'm like, I wonder how many calories is in that. I don't let it dictate my decisions anymore. And that's why I don't think it's harmful to look at it for me because it's not a dictator. It's just more of a just like habit, curiosity, or whatever. I have a couple questions though for you. Do you mind if
Sure.
I ask you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one is when you the anorexia and the binge eating, did you get therapy and help for that?
I did.
Okay.
I
Right. So
did.
you don't think you're actively in those things, or do you?
Well, I've been able to maintain within the 5 pound range the past 3 weeks, but I feel like I've been in these like binge restrict cycles a little bit because when I look at my plan and when I eat and when I follow hunger and enough, it's such a low amount of calorie count that I'm like, I'm not eating enough. I'm starving. And then it sends me into this, well, I need to binge because I'm not eating enough. And,
Okay, so I think that is our intervention point then, is when you so I'm just going to talk for a second, and then I want you to tell me how you feel. And then for everybody that's listening to this, I want you to not freak out, because I'm probably going to give her advice that I don't give everybody, but as I always say, I think weight loss is unique for all of us. When it comes to hunger and enough, when you have an eating disordered background, and what's fascinating with anorexia and binge eating, I've been listening to some podcasts, just kind of studying. I'm really familiar with the binge eating side. It's the anorexic side that I'm not, and I didn't realize it that it's such a opposite side of the coin. With when we are binge eaters, there's so much shame involved in it, and we feel compelled to eat, and then you feel the shame about it and stuff. With anorexics, there it's different. It's a control thing. There's a very like they're very interested in it, and it's like in their brain, the reward center is lit up when there is a like data and a sense of control and stuff, and it's like you feel good about doing it. Whereas like binge eaters do not feel good about overeating. Like I rarely ever talk to a binge eater who's like, oh yeah, I'm so proud of it. It's like, no, they're like, oh my God, this is a very shameful, terrible behavior. And you talk to an anorexic and they are just like, to them, it's like, it's control. It's like, I think when you look at it from far away, you don't feel good about it. But when you're kind of in it, there's like a positive payoff that's happening. And that's what drives it so hard. And then I think when you go back and forth, I think what you just want to look for, now that you're not actively in it, you might be in this cycle you recognize, but there's a difference between like when you're actively in it, it's almost like you can't even see your cycles. You're just it's just is happening. And I feel like you're kind of, and you tell me if I'm wrong, because I would not want to help someone who actually needs deeper help than I can give. I will never ever feel like I'm so like great. I can just, I wouldn't want to do that to anyone. But if you feel like you're kind of more in the observer role, and it's like, I notice these patterns, I feel like I can help myself, then I feel like I can help you. But if you really feel like you aren't in that space where it feel like it's just happening to you, kind of where are you at when I say all that?
Yeah, no, I am I ladder. I feel in a good space, very observant, and I'm not I'm seeing the cycling, and so I'm like I'm not, yeah, I'm in the
So
ladder.
what I'm going to tell you is that hunger and enough is something that we want to do alongside other things to build safety around it. When you come from a disordered eating background, and this even happens to a lot of us, even when we don't have a disordered eating background, hunger and enough feels very unsafe. It just feels like it's free falling. Like, I'm just gonna, you want me to just jump out of an airplane? Aren't you giving me a parachute? For you, what I would say is we might want to examine, while you are paying attention to hunger enough, you're also tracking alongside. because you could run the risk of very much under eating because there's probably a part of your brain that still has no problems not eating. Feels very logical at times. And then when we talk about listening to our body, you didn't do it for so long that it's like, this is like literally exploring new territory for you. Brand new. And then on the opposite side of when we are listening for hunger and enough, and if you're watching your calories, you can also, it might be comforting to say like, okay, I know I'm getting enough. I can see that I'm getting enough. And I'm just having to get used to this part so that we're not triggering a lot of the binging. So it's like, you know, I would say, I don't think there's any problems with you eating alongside tracking, but not at the expense of not paying attention to your hunger and enough cues, but paying attention and then looking at the data so that you can reassure yourself, you're right, I didn't get enough today. So let me eat to enough according to data, not according to fear that you're fucking yourself over because some endocrinologist said you're going to like go off the deep end or, you know, oh my God, you know, you were an anorexic at one point. Like the inner part of you that kind of freaks out that sends you back and forth literally is sitting there and it's just saying like, I don't know what to do. And so I'm going to err on what I'm most afraid of to keep us safe. And then your logical part is where we come in with some data while we're listening to kind of keep reteaching like, okay, you will eventually get really good at it, but it's going to take some time. So when I say that, what comes up for you?
That feels a lot better. Yeah. And I do think that'll really help with, it'll really help with the urges too, feeling safer around urges, because I will know that, no, it's because I haven't eaten enough today and my body is hungry versus I'm just having an urge that I need to use some different tools on.
Yeah. And that one of the things too is, you know, for you is just knowing that you go between the two, that there will be times where under eating seems very logical, you know, like, especially if we're just trying to do hunger and enough, it's like, you might not really know when you're hungry all the time. You know, you might not know what really enough is. So by using, and especially because you also used a GLP-1, like you just have so many things externally that have happened to you that it would make a lot of sense why this feels very dangerous. And it feels like you're, because you are actually in unknown territory. Listening to your body and then deciding Stephanie is the wisest person on the face of the earth to help herself is, especially when it comes to eating, is literally unknown territory. Unknown territory will always feel unsafe. It will always feel bad. It will always feel dangerous because our brains are skewed to like doubt first, believe second. So we want to know that you're going to be very skeptical and like, I'm not supposed to be used to this. I'm, you know, all these things. So how do we build in safety supports while you relearn it?
Yeah. Perfect. That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anything else you need?
I don't think so. I also wanted to let you know that my husband is really happy I'm a part of the No BS program. He is like, what have you been doing? You just, I would say I've been a lot more thoughtful and kind to him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And so thank you.
And how long have you been in the program?
Just three weeks.
Wow.
And it's just,
you're not even through the first 30 days. Wait, like, tell him, you need to tell him, like, dude, you wait till I go through the relationships course. This marriage is fixing to skyrocket.
Yeah. So
That's amazing, Stephanie. We're glad you're here.
thank you.
You're welcome.
All
Bye-bye.
right. Bye.
But none of you other bitches need any coaching. Nobody. I'm going to answer. There's a couple of questions in the chat. Let me go through that, which is fine. I'll answer those. And then if that's all we got, then I'm going to just trust that my maintenance people, you were killing it. You were owning it. You just don't need any help right now. So I am far from being in maintenance, but I think I remember hearing from Corinne or one of the coaches about practicing maintenance. What does that look like when you're still losing? So it's a lot of practicing maintenance means you want to go to your maintenance like life. Like when I imagine what maintenance would look like, these are the things that I think. Now, some of you can't imagine it because you've never been there. You don't need to have been there to know what it's like. The key is, what does my brain currently think if I was at my ideal weight? I would be doing, I would be thinking, all of those kinds of things. Because no matter how much weight you have to lose, even when I was just, I did some podcasts, I had to write all my podcasts for the next 2 months and record them this week. And whenever I write podcasts, I always have to go back in time and like think about a lot of my stories and a lot of things that happened. And one of the things was when I was 250, I did a podcast on whether or not you need a goal weight or you should set a goal life. And I was talking in there about how when I first started, I had to set a goal life. I could not even set a goal weight. Number one, I'd been so overweight most of my life. I had no clue what somebody like what was going to even be feasible for me. I had no clue. Zero. And so I just thought, I'm just going to like, here are the things that I want to like feel. I would just love to feel like I could keep up with Logan. I just love to feel like I can have sex in any position I want, because I had gotten to a point to where there was only a couple of positions that one that we could do, and two, that like I had this like weird fear that I was gonna crush Chris. And I even say it in the podcast, which was hilarious, was that we weighed exactly the same. He could be on top of me, and of course I was never crushed, but if I was on top of him, I just imagined I was gonna like, you know, break his dick or something. So when I would think about what I wanted, that's what we're talking about. Whether or not you've ever been there or not, we all have a fantasy or an idea about what would life look like if we lost our weight. Otherwise, we wouldn't want to lose weight. There's something that we think is going to happen when we lose weight. So you don't have to know the number, but you at least need to think about, well, what is it that I'm so wanting? Like, what is weight loss fixing to do for me? You make that list. So, like, if you imagine that when you're thin, that you would just love yourself, you'd be like, oh my God, I would never talk to myself the way I talk to myself today. When I'm thin, I'm gonna think I'm sexy. I'm gonna think I'm amazing. I'm gonna be so proud of myself. Then the way we practice maintenance now is we have to say, okay, one of the things I think will happen when I lose weight is that I will be really proud of myself. So that means today I have to learn how to become someone who's proud of themselves. So I need to look for things in my life right now that I don't recognize, that I don't appreciate, that I don't even think about. And I need to start doing that now. Otherwise, I will lose all my weight and I still won't know how to find things to be proud of. I might be proud of the scale and I might be proud that I lost my weight, but I will spend the other 99.5% of my day that has nothing to do with me being on the scale and looking at how much I weigh. I will be missing all the moments that I could be proud of myself. If you think that you're gonna be like, when I lose my weight, I'm going to have like total control over food. Then you look now and you're like, all right, where are the foods right now that I lose control over? So in order to practice maintenance, I need to include those foods now and I need to eat them like as a monk meal, which means like you would eat it undistracted and you would write while you eat about what you're thinking. You might want to take those foods now and be like, all right, these are the foods I think I'll have control over one day. So if I'm eating them only when I'm stressed out, tired, and I eat, like, let's say it's Cheetos, and I only eat a whole bag of Cheetos at a time, I'm now going to keep Cheetos. I'm going to portion them. I'm going to have them in my house, and I'm going to plan them, and I'm going to plan them for times when I can enjoy them and not make them only something I eat when I'm at the end of my rope. I'm going to like deliberately eat them now so I get used to eating them so that when I lose all of my weight, I have practiced that. If you think that when you lose weight that you will love your body, then that means that today you have to be someone who no longer beats their body up. You don't have to love it, but if you don't ever stop the old thoughts when they happen, they don't magically stop all on their own. Your brain gets really used to judging you, looking for problems. You think it's just making fun of your weight right now. And it's like, no, it is in a habit of like, oh, the habit isn't like my mind thinks I'm fat. The habit is criticism. And if I let my brain think that criticism works in order to lose weight, like if all the way down the scale, I'm just like, oh my God, you're so fat. You've got to look better. Blah, 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 blah. Then it gets a reward. It feels like shit, but it's getting rewarded because you keep trying to lose weight and fix that. And so it thinks, oh, in order to get this done, I've got to criticize you because you're using that as a tool to lose weight. Well, guess what tool it thinks is needed to maintain? Criticism. It doesn't get there and think, we should love each other. Like, it's like loving your body will feel very dangerous if the tool to get your weight off was criticism. It won't want to turn it on. It'll be like, no, 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 you shouldn't be too big for your britches. You know what you need to do? You need to be like paranoid you're going to gain weight. Otherwise, you're just going to eat your face off and you're going to go right back to where we were. That's what I mean by when we are going to practice maintenance, we have to think about what are these things that I think are just going to magically appear like a lucky charm when I lose weight and realize all of that is practiced behavior that happens on the way down the scale. And that's how we do it. Happy to be here. Let's see. You are a start, although I only joined a few days ago. I've been following you for years now. I lost my weight with Mongiorno, and now I'm in maintenance. As I reduce the dose, I note that my emotional eating is still around, and that's mainly why I joined No BS. I do therapy for more than 5 years, but it has never been enough. I am really committed to understanding what is going on and what I am really hungry for, but it's so hard. I now understand that at night, I am just tired and just need rest. So it's not that hard to figure out. Like, I just want you to try this thought on, rather than saying it's so hard to figure out, say, you know what? When I listen, stuff starts appearing, because that's also what just happened. But during the day, especially in the afternoon, I still binge a lot on food, usually sweet ones, biscuits, chocolate, blah, blah, blah. Any tips on what I could do to identify what I really need? Usually starts after lunch and I carry on with the binge until bedtime. I reckon I start to eat for a reason X and then go into the fuck it mode. So the first thing we can do, what I would do is that let's stop the bleeding, which is what would it take for me to love myself in the moment I catch a binge happening? Because right now, when we go into fuck it mode, it's because we either give up, we like, see, I knew I couldn't do this. We talk to ourselves in a hopeless way, or we're so ashamed and we're so mad that we started that we want to continue it because we're trying to get it out of our system. Sometimes we make promises to ourselves. We do all that stuff. I think your first intervention point is to literally go to yourself and say, I know you're eating right now, and I know there must be something going on. And I know this is like, if it's a binge, it's probably like, I know you're ashamed. And I know you hate you do this. And I know that you think that this won't work. And you just tell yourself, if you want to keep eating, you can, but we're not going to keep eating because we're mad at ourselves and we're ashamed. Like, I know this sounds crazy, but when you flip the script and you allow yourself to eat with love, it almost is harder to eat. It's really easy to rage eat. It's really easy to numb eat. It's really easy to like run from shame. What's not easy to do is to keep eating in front of someone you truly love. Someone who's saying, I'm listening. I will support you no matter what you do. There's a little bit of relief that starts happening there. And usually in a binge cycle, to me, that is one of the key places to start intervening. Because when your binge self trusts that if you start eating, that it will be listened to, it won't be ignored or shamed or yelled at or, you know, whatever, like, you know, grounded, which means like the next day we restrict, we do all those things. It's a lot easier for that voice to say, here's what I really need. And your binging is serving a valiant purpose. A very, like, it's probably addressing some unmet need. Maybe it's a lack of love. Maybe it's a lack of rest. Maybe it, whatever it is. But if your inside feels like you're going to stop binging without figuring out why it's there to begin with, then your internal self is only thinking, oh my God, you're taking away the one thing that makes me feel this. You're taking away the one thing that fixes this. And it's not going to want to let that go. Because if binging is the way that you cut yourself slack, you give yourself breaks, you shut off the pressure of the world, then your inner self would never want to give that up. It's like, you want me to no longer take care of myself. Because in your body, binging is not a bad behavior. And inside, for all of you, the binging and the overeating is meeting emotional needs. It thinks it's doing you a solid. It's caring for you. Now, just because you on the outside who looks around and, you know, doesn't like being overweight or knows that you're binging or whatever, just because your logical brain knows this isn't a good thing for you, it doesn't mean that the wounded part of you that's trying to get its needs taken care of, it does not know that at all. It just knows it's got an emergency and it needs to fix it. So that's why it's so important that we break it down. So I think for you, the first thing is interrupting and the like, can we say, I won't do the fuck it eating anymore, or I will just tell myself, you have the permission to keep going. I am learning that this is about my unmet needs. This is not about something I'm doing that's bad. I'm not being bad. I just don't know what my needs are right now. You open that space up, it is so much easier for like everything in you to start calming down after a while and to start like revealing itself to you. Now y'all got your hands raised. Anna. Hey, Anna.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello. What you
I'm
need
sorry.
Help with today?
Okay, so I'm not in maintenance yet, but I got a question for you. I'm trying, a couple of weeks ago, I was coached by MJ. And she mentioned that I have a system problem. It's not a me problem. And my therapist, she also mentioned the same thing.
Okay.
So my question is, I'm sorry, I'm walking.
You're fine.
So my question is, how do I start creating systems that are, that can be transferred to other areas of my life and can also be useful when I'm in maintenance on in my future self? Does that make sense?
So I've got two good tips for you. Number one is read the book, Atomic Habits. Have you read that?
I did, but it was a long time ago.
Read it again. In fact, I'm going back through it. Read it again. Or did you read Tiny Habits?
No, but it's on my list. I bought it already.
Okay. I would read that because that is about like habits is like systems. It's, and especially Atomic Habits, he does a really good job of breaking down like how we systematize to make sure that new habits get into place. And that is just everything. And so I would read that. Tiny Habits, I really liked. In fact, the author of that one had me guest speak at his Stanford class. It was on Zoom, but I was honored as fuck. I was like, oh my God, like I want to teach some Stanford kids something today. So I really liked his because I felt like BJ Fogg's book was a little bit more in line with what I teach, where he talks about making micro habits. And that really is like very in line with no BS. So when you talk about like putting in systems, I think that would really help you with that. The second thing when it comes to maintenance is if you think, like, tell me one thing that you think you have a system problem with right now. Like if you identified just one little one.
Staying organized, like in everything in my house, in Novias, like my own notes, everything is all over the place. My work too, that is one of the issues that I have. Like I'm not really, I want to be organized, but I'm not organized. If that makes sense, okay. Like,
yeah. So when you're in maintenance, you think you'll be organized?
I want to be, or at least better handle all the things rather than, you know.
So you think if you lost all your weight, how would that apply to organization in your life? Like, I guess with food, maybe.
Better track, you know, what I'm eating. Because right now I have diabetes and I'm eating sweets like there is no tomorrow. I don't have like a clue where to start. Because I'm feeling out of control. I'm feeling so disorganized that I'm just binge. I'm eating, overeating all the time, to be honest. So okay. I feel like, yeah.
So like one thing that you could do is, have you downloaded the planner yet?
Yeah. I'm doing the quick food tracker daily.
Okay.
I'm doing
so
that.
That's a good system. It's like for you, that is at least getting you organized in knowing, all right, this is a reflection of what I'm eating. Like what I would do if I was you is, especially because you have diabetes, is I need to really track this, not so that like the goal isn't to track so that you are doing it right. It's to track so you know why you're doing what you're doing. Like this is what I'm doing. And now I need to figure out now, like, let's say the sugar thing. It's like, all right, I need to know how much I'm binging, how I need to know how often and why and what goes on. So I need to really track that because the only way to be able to solve a problem is to know what's happening and why it's happening. A lot of you don't want to do that. You just kind of like, I'm eating too much sugar. Tell me what I should do. And it's like, well, I can't really tell you that until I know. When is it happening the most? Why do you think in those times it's happening? So now let's take one of those times. Now that we know when and why, what do we need to do in that situation, that type of like feeling or whatever, so that we can solve the real problem behind why you want sugar? Especially when you know it's not like helping you with your diabetes, right?
Yes.
So it's like, I want you to think about this, that if you're eating sugar and you know, like, I know I got a health problem, like I've got a million and one good reasons not to do it.
Yeah.
The only reason why you would go against all these good reasons is if somewhere deep inside your brain said, but I have a better reason why we need this. And it outweighs all of these. So there's something that goes on that says, this is way more important to your survival than you not eating it. But that will only happen through the tracking. So when we talk about, I would read Tiny Habits. I would make sure you're using that tracker, but that you are not slacking on only tracking. This is what I see a lot of people do. Only track their good days. Nobody needs to track the good days. We need to track the days where we're eating our faces off, because that's where our information is. Okay.
But yeah, I'm tracking everything. I'm doing discovery worksheets. I'm doing the weekly tracking thing. Okay. And I'm tracking what I'm eating. Yeah, I'm doing that.
Okay. Try reading Tiny Habits.
I will.
For the organization. And then just pick little areas of your, like, I think if you read that and you can pick little things to organize just a little, just like for years, my notes were everywhere. I would have like notes in my computer, notes in a journal, notes in my iPad, and I would have like four other journals other places. I did not worry about it 1 ounce. And then I finally was like, you know what? I'd like to have everything in one place. On my iPad, I downloaded GoodNotes. And now if I take a note or I do anything, it goes in there. And I just made myself get good at putting it in one place. But it took me years to figure that out. It took me years of having multiple places. But I was just like, I would rather have notes everywhere than have no notes at all. For now, that's my organization system. And then when it became a problem, I was like, all right, well, let me condense to this or let me do that.
Yeah, I'm doing that now. Okay. What I'm doing is when I'm listening to the calls, I'm taking notes in Google Keep, and then I'm transferring to my email, and then I'm sending to myself so I can review it and everything.
Maybe you're more organized than you think you are then.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not giving myself credit.
That could be it. Because every time I try to challenge you with an organization, they're like, yeah, well, I'm doing that. I'm like, well, okay.
I mean, I've been reading so many books recently about organization and everything. It's like, I feel like I'm all over the place. I think the issue is that I'm trying to do so many things at the same time that I get overwhelmed, that I ended up getting out of control and doing nothing.
Yeah. Just remind yourself, do this. If you want to do a lot of things, say, I'm doing a lot of things and trying a lot of things, which means I'm going to be doing a lot of things imperfectly. And that's how it goes when you do a lot of things, rather than, oh my God, I'm fucking up. Like we kind of like don't realize that if you're going to be doing a lot of things, you're not going to be able to do everything perfectly. You can only do them just like right now. I've got a huge workload. Like it is long right now. And I just told myself, Corinne, you're probably going to be doing everything at anywhere between a B minus and a C level. And then I made an agreement with myself. I was like, that's okay, because right now the priority is to do a lot of things. Then I have times in my life where it's like, these things can't be done. And like, I need some A plus work happening, which means I can only do a few things. And so I just tell myself, look, if I want to do things right and perfect and it needs to be my best work, then I only get to do a few things. So, I mean, I have to feel gross about not doing all this. I've got to work through, like, it's okay to let this go. Or I can do a lot of things imperfectly and get the payoff of feeling like I'm making progress, but also knowing and feeling gross that it's not my best work. Everything has trade-offs. But I think we don't think in terms like that. We think it has to be like, I've got to do a lot of things and I got to do them all perfectly. And I'm like, it's a lot easier to get through life not thinking that way. Reminding yourself everything has trade-offs. And it right now, you have to decide. It's like, is my priority to do a lot of things so I can try lots of things to see what could work? Or would it feel better for me to say, like, you know what? I'm going to cut a lot of the stuff out and I'm going to do a few things and get really good at them and tell myself and remind myself the rest will be able to wait. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Bye. Happy Sunday.
You too. Finish that walk. It must be hot too. I think everywhere in Nashville's hot right now. Good Lord.
Eddie, I'm in New York. It is. It is hot.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I went out walking this morning, y'all, at 7, and it was awful. Like, Nashville's got like 85% humidity right now or something. Bonnie, I was going to die. Bonnie, while you're coming up, I'm going to read this one. I would like some advice on a goal range. I'm currently 100, 145 and have been there for several months pretty easily. I kind of want to be 135 to 140, but I have a pear shape and long torso. And when I get to this weight, my face and upper body look thin, but not my lower half. My mom and sister told me last week, don't lose any more weight. I would be fine here, but wonder if I'm giving up or quitting on my goal. If you're going to be fine there, that's not like, to me, there's no, like, Chris and I actually had this funny conversation the other day because he was making fun of me. We were talking to another coach and we were talking about quitting some stuff. I was telling her, like, here's some things I need you to quit doing in your business. And she was like having a hard time with it. And it was just business advice. And she said, I just feel like I'm giving up. And I said, there is a difference between quitting something that you're doing and you realize either you're not interested anymore, you don't like all the work that's involved, you find that you're like your life goals have changed. Like, I've quit thousands of things. Like, I was supposed to run a half marathon and I had trained, and I think it was all the way up to like 3 weeks before this heifer. It's like a year or two ago. And I had no more interest in it. None. I didn't even want to drive downtown. I didn't want to have to figure out parking. I was going to have to go by myself. I'd already paid. There was like 1,000 reasons. I did not go. And I was like, okay with quitting on that goal. Because I like my reasons. It is when we give up, giving up is usually in reaction to all of the beatdown, the imperfection. We're hard on ourselves in the pursuit. And so we give up to escape ourselves. When we're quitting in that moment, we're quitting to get the relief of all the pressure we're putting under ourselves. When you quit for a solid reason, there is some relief, but you feel solid in your decision. You don't regret it. You've reasoned through why you don't want it anymore. And you just realize this just doesn't align with me anymore. So when it comes to your goal and whether or not you want to quit on it, it's kind of like me. It's like, I might enjoy losing 10 more pounds for certain areas of my body. Like, my arms look so good every time I drop 2 or 3 more pounds. I was like, I can see more shoulder. My legs look like the candle is melting. So I am just like, no more weight loss, because I won't trade that. And that's just bodies. So I think you just got to decide. It's like, if I lose 10 more or 5 more pounds or whatever, this part might not look as good. Maybe this will. Just have to play with it. And then if you just decide, like, you know what? Like I had to finally decide. It didn't matter how much weight I lost. My legs were never going to look the way I wanted. It was really clear to me what my range should be. It was easy for me. So that's what I would think about. All right, let's go. What you got?
Hey.
Hey.
So I am 1 pound away from maintenance, which that is like my second time I kind of bumped down the goal. Because honestly, I've been at this like 3 years, but I joined OBS for the overeating fix in March. And what I realized was that, you know, I really had gotten to the like eating foods good for my body, wanting them, you know, all that, but that I was still overeating, which was a game, you know, like shocking to me. It shouldn't have been, but like you've said before, it's like weird when you don't need as much as what seems reasonable anyway. But anyway, when I first broke through my metabolism, I'm about to be 48. And okay. So like 45, I was going to the gym four times, doing cardio. I'm a nurse. I'm on my feet. I was eating well, and literally my metabolism would not break. Like I tried Hydroxycut, I tried Golo, and nothing would move the scale. And I haven't found you. But then I found this app that's about walking. And I mean, I already was pretty much at like 10,000 a day always without my, and about 4 days a week of a more cardio, like at the gym. Well, anyway, so I got this app and my watch, and it said 14,000 would like get me to lose weight. And then like 2 weeks later, I talked to my doctor about it without talking about the app. And he was like, oh, 15,000 a day will break through. And I was like, because it like came from two places, you know. Well, anyway, so February 2024, I started 14,000 steps a day. And I do have break days built in, but I usually just take two or three a month. I pretty much handle it like a non-negotiable. And I walk in place. I just fit it in. I don't go crazy. I'm not like, I'm not someone who's hard on myself in shaming ways. I'm just hard on myself in like expectation. Like when I do set something, then I'm like, okay, this is my one thing, but I'm gonna do it. And so now that I'm like basically in maintenance, at some point I've just like thought about it, talked about it to myself, that I think it'd be really reasonable when I'm not trying to lose weight to go to make 10,000 my goal, because that even by literature is just the normal good, healthy goal. And but I do have a little of this fear because that's what like moved the needle,
I
and
think you think that's what moved the needle. Did you? What else were you doing?
no, really, I already
You
like
didn't give up any emotional eating. You didn't stop overeating the healthy foods or anything like that.
the thing was really not much else changed because I had already been like layering in the water that all the things that do matter. And I'm not this is basically weight, I've gone up and down, but I really haven't taken all the weight off since before my for 17 years, because my oldest is 16 year old twins. And hung out for a long time in the 170s, 180s, and like was able to get off like 6 pounds, but not more than that, and that kind of thing. But it really wasn't, I wasn't, I that's the part, like that's not as hard for me, the emotional part. Like, I'm not saying there's none of it, but I just feel this little
Well, let me ask you this. You joined in what? When did you join?
March.
March. And have you lost any weight since March?
Yes.
How
Oh
much?
yes, you definitely the no BS way of overeating, like seal the deal, because the weight that I lost walking was much slower. It was incremental.
So that's what you need to be telling yourself when you're thinking about you. The way that you phrase, I would love for you to listen to this, because the way you phrased it, and even when I pressed you in the beginning, was it's the 14 or 15,000 steps. Now that's what did it. And you're given, like, basically the way you said it, your energy was like 98% of this weight loss happened because of my walking, going from 10K to 14K, which I'm gonna probably disappoint you sorely. Is like 100 calories to 200 calories, maybe.
Oh
It is
yeah.
not like the world's big epic game changer, okay? I'm not saying it's not good for you
Yeah.
and that it's like all this other stuff. But then when I ask you about when did you join, you're like, well, March. And it's like when I got to the overeating stuff was like mind-blowing, and that's when it sped up.
Yeah.
But in your brain, you've got it tied to that 14,000 number. If you, I promise everybody, I would bet you right now, if we went into the main group and I said, Hey, all of you that have at least 50 pounds to lose, how many of you are getting 15,000 plus steps a day? There'd be a lot of them. There'd be some marathon runners, triathletes, regular exercisers, big time. Like you go to the exercise group, that is a group of women who often bitch that they're working out so hard and they're not losing weight because they're not doing the emotional eating part, or that's the part they can't conquer yet. They've conquered the gym or they've conquered their steps, but they haven't conquered yet the emotional eating. So
So I
I
guess
just want to go ahead.
my question is, or like my what I'm kind of mulling through is like the intertwining of like how long to stay, not that there's like a too long, but how long to stay food planning as I go into maintenance, drop steps eventually. You know, I'm not gonna like drop them in 1 month, but I am gonna like be less stringent, you know, like so I guess
Yeah,
that
like you don't.
like
So
I
here's my answer. I still food plan every day. And I don't have a problem with it. Because when I food plan in the morning, it is the one time of the day that I am looking at my day and making sure that I've got plenty of food, that I'm eating what I want, that I know, like it triggers me to look at my calendar. You know what life I hated? I hated getting caught and being like, I didn't even know all this was going to happen today. Even though I knew shit was happening, but because I never looked, I never planned to eat, and I would have to come home and be starving because I got caught with my pants down all day long because I didn't even take a moment in the morning to look at what my day was going to throw at me and plan accordingly. I hated that life. I hated hangry eating. I hated negligence in my fuel. I hated being the person who pitted myself all the time into food emergencies, crisis in my body because I was letting life dictate and not even thinking about where did Corinne fit in it. My food plan is the one time a day that I can guarantee you that I get to spend with me making sure my needs are met because the fucking world is not going to do that. The rest, like the moment I close my journal on my food plan, I know the rest of the day I'm dealing with the world and I am going to be in response mode. And the one thing that will be totally thought through and cared about is like, well, at least I know what I'm eating. At least I know I covered my needs. At least somebody fucking thought about Corinne today. And that person's me. So I don't have a, like, when y'all come on here and you ask, like, you know, well, how long do I have to plan? It's like, I don't, that'd be like somebody saying, well, how many more years do I have to get fucking massages for relaxation? None of you would complain about that because you see, a massage or getting taken care of as like a self-care thing. I see planning as self-care. So one time I'm listening to me all day long. The rest of the day, I probably am going to have to listen to everybody else first. So you don't have to be like Corinne. You don't have to see planning as self-care. Like, you can think about it as shit to do. You can think about it as like when y'all tell me that planning is restrictive, like what kind of fucking planning are you doing then?
I
Because
enjoy the planning. I don't have a problem with it. I just have, you
then
know,
why would you want to give it up?
well, I guess I just thought once you've actually, over time, over the years, you've done it and you kind of know that. I guess just thinking like you will know because you're still, you know, that if you want to go to Dairy Queen, you're only going to eat till you stop it enough or. I guess that sentiment of like you would learn what your body is doing.
So there is some difference a little bit, but like let's say Dairy Queen. I want to plan Dairy Queen. You know what I don't want to do? Stop at Dairy Queen on a day when, like, I don't want to open the door to having Dairy Queen on my bad days. Because when I'm having Dairy Queen on a bad day, I'm not enjoying ice cream. I'm running away from a bad day. Now, when I have Dairy Queen on a day where I planned it, I know I'm having a good day, which means it's a lot easier for me. Like, this fucking rocks. Like, look at me. Here I am, 18 years later, and still, at my goal weight. Like, it's such a great moment. And I don't want to deny myself those moments. Now, I will say this. One thing that's different about my planning is, like, my chicken liver night is a really good example. I never know which night I want to have it. I just know every single week I'm going to be ordering chicken livers, fried okra, and mashed potatoes from our local Meat and Three. And I know it won't be on Sunday or Monday because they're closed. And I hate that. So I almost always want it on Sunday or Monday. And I'm like, curse, why are you closed? So I always say I have audible night. And for me, that is my signal of like, you love this meal so much. And I also don't want to have that meal on a day when I'm just eating it. Like I might be too tired that night. And I don't want to eat it on a night I'm tired. And so I kind of have gotten used to knowing, like, I know I'm going to have it once a week. And I know that there's going to be one night of the week where I'm going to be excited and giddy for it. And it's going to be fun. And I plan it spontaneously, but it's like half spontaneous. It's a little bit planned. Like, I know this is my favorite meal, and I know I have it once a week, but I just don't necessarily want to plan which night it is.
Yeah, I like
It's,
that. I think
yeah,
that's
so.
more of what I'm talking about. Like not anti-planning, but just having a little more flexibility because I know where I'm at, and I have maintained weight loss in the past, but then had four children. But I had lost it after college, and I wish I had the overeating knowledge because that's
Yeah.
really the ticket. But have in the past been able to then just stay in a good way, and just care for my body the way it needs to be cared for. So.
Yeah. So maintenance, this is such a like it's a really good question. I'm really glad you brought it up because maintenance to me is just like losing weight. It is very gray area. Like I give y'all the basics as a framework. But for every person, we have to, like, I don't know what your emotional eating is going to be. Like, for some people, they can start with hunger and enough as is. For some people, they have to only start with hunger because enough's too much for them right now. Like, we just have to, like, everything is like very flexible and bendable. Maintenance is the same way. So we still do the basics, but as you are doing maintenance, you're going to need, this is why I always say, like, if you will lose weight through experimenting and trying things and not beating yourself up when they don't work, then when you land in maintenance, you're going to have to experiment with it too. And so if the scale starts creeping, like creeping up, and you bring some, like let's say you decide I'm going to dead stop the planning. Like maybe you're like there was somebody in the comment who was who is it that hated the planning? I saw someone, Liz. All right, maybe you're like Liz, and you're like, fuck that planning. Now that I'm at goal weight, we're done with this horse shit. I'm out. All right. She may remove it. And then she notices, like within 2 months, she's up 5 pounds. And that's been the big thing that she's changed. So then what she needs to do, because she experimented with giving up her planning, she's like, okay, maybe giving up planning, even though I don't like it, serves a really good purpose. It helps me notice when I'm overeating because some of my overeating comes back in when I don't have a plan. And so she might like put planning back in and she might say, you know what? I don't have to plan Monday through Friday. It's really my weekends. That's where I'm kind of like, I think that's where my problem is. So in my maintenance land, maybe I only plan on the weekends. That's why I think it's just important for y'all to see like maintenance is the exact same skills as weight loss, but y'all think the skill is like hunger, enough water, and sleep. The skill is experimenting, patience, thoughtfulness, introspection, curiosity, like bravery to play with things. trying things. So like for you, I think this is so good because you kind of came in here and it's like, if you're going to experiment, we experiment first with steps. It's like, all right, if I've been doing 14 or 15,000, like you said, it's like you don't want to just dead stop and be, you know, turn into a couch potato and hope you don't gain any weight. You want to say like, all right, I don't want to do that every day anymore. So I'm going to do 14 or 15,000 3 days a week. And then the other days, I'm going to do 12 at first. And then I'm going to do maybe still keep like 3 or 4 days at the high range. And then I'm going to take the 12 down to 10. And then I'll do that for a few weeks. And then maybe then I'll start tapering down the 14 or 15. So like I'll have some high days, but they'll be more like 13,000 now. And then my baseline will always be 10, like whatever it is. But you just start playing with it and you just start seeing what does it do to your body. Because if it really is the steps, you'll quickly see. But I think it's probably the steps are they're awesome for you. And I think it's great that you're doing it. And honestly, my husband gets, oh, he drives me crazy because he like I bought an Apple Watch seriously because I got so sick and tired that my Oura Ring won't count my steps when I'm at the gym because I have to take it off to lift weights. And I march around while I'm lifting weights. And I was just like, my husband, every day, like I'm getting like 4,000 steps and he's getting 15,000. And so now my watch is going off. I'm standing up every hour. I'm very competitive by nature.
Well, and
But
I know streaks don't, you know, streaks are meant to be broken, is what people say. But I do have, and I may just have to do some thought work around this, but I have a streak on the walking app that's like, let me look, 452 days. And they allow you 2 rest days a week. But even within that, I could keep my streak and do more rest days than I've been. Or I mean, rest day just means I didn't get 14,000. It could be 13, you know, like, so, yeah, and but I think that makes sense what you're saying to kind of poke around because I'm by nature I'm not perfectionistic, but I am pretty black and white. So like, you know, when I made my 14,000, you know, a year and a half ago, it was like, okay, well, I need this to be because otherwise I'm gonna every day not make it, you know, like. So, but poking around with even the 3 times a week or whatever, you know, can, to make it more playful, you know. And
it's
I
really
don't think
important.
now it's the steps. It probably won't even affect me because of the overeating factor. But yes, it's still definitely at some point it was the only main factor that changed. And it only changed little, but it was like you said, you know, it was the small thing that I started doing consistent, and I was like, this is happening, and I'm making sure to change it. And but yeah, leaning more on the fact that really the truth is, you know, I've lost more than 10 pounds since March, and my total is 30 for 3 years, you know, like, so it's really this has been the, you know, the secret sauce.
Well, just remember, all brains are naturally wired to be black and white. So we have to, they call it just fight against your nature. Brains are binary. It wants it to be black or white. It wants it to be yes or no. It just, brains just really love zero or one. Like it just, it's naturally designed to do that. So that we're not having to think so much. Like our brains are not designed to contemplate very much. It's just like, I need you to make a decision so we can just like store this in the habit center and never have to think about it again because I got to move on to other things. And so we have to go against our nature some. And so you just want to look for areas in your life where being black and white is helpful and where is it not? And then that's the area that we have to go against our nature and say, like, oh, okay, black and white's not going to be helpful over here. And so this is what's going to be helpful. Is having these things. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy
All right.
birthday. My gift to you was stretching because I never stretch.
Thank God, because somebody needs to be doing it because I'm not doing near enough of it. That's one of my goals this year, too. Bye. All right, Mary, last one. I'm gonna squeeze you in. Oh, I just love what Lizzie put in the chat, y'all. The key to consistency is allowing a little bit to count. That is so true because consistency is very different than perfectionism. And somewhere in No BS, we actually have this lesson. It's called persistence versus consistency versus perfectionism. So make sure you watch that video. Excuse me, I'm burping my energy drink because consistency doesn't mean you do it to the max. It means that I am consistent. Like if I have one day, if I have 100% of my energy, then I'm going to use 100% of my energy towards my goal. If I wake up and I've got 30% energy that day, then I'm going to do 30%. I'm going to go at my goal with my 30% of my energy. So that means that like you don't have the same level of being able to do every day. And that's what like screws us up is that we confuse perfectionism with consistency. Consistency means I'm doing something that includes little things consistently to make a change. Y'all think I'm not con like I must not be consistent because I'm not doing it right. Well, until you can do it right, there's a thousand little things you have to learn. And you have to try and you have to do in order to get to the point you can do it right. But if you're consistent, it means I'm constantly trying things. I'm constantly looking at things. I'm giving the energy that I got for the day towards getting there. That's consistency. I don't know what, Mary, you coming? Let's see. Tell you what, I have spoke all the words today, y'all. While we were on the break between the calls, I was recording 365s. I recorded one before we even started. I've said all the words. Well, Mary, can you type in the chat if you're coming up? Because I keep asking you to, but it's not even giving me an indicator. No, she's declining, so she must not want coaching. Her hand must just be raised. All right. Well, then that's it. We are out of time anyway, so that works out perfectly. I was just going to grab her since her hand was raised. Y'all have a great month, maintenance people. If you, we have asked in your Facebook group several times what, like, I'm going to update the course later this year. Things that you want, if there's anything that you're thinking that you would love included in the course that's not there now, we do have a plan to update the planner. That's been one of the big requests. Any additional lessons or anything you think would make it more robust, write in, just send it to support@pnptribe.com, or if you go to the website, there's a blue question mark there. You can just click on that. That immediately goes to our support. You can just type in, like, hey, Corinne's looking for maintenance ideas. I would love if you included this. We're collecting all the feedback, and then that's going to help inform me on what is missing in the current program, what needs to be updated, what you would love to have, all that kind of stuff. So make sure you get that in because, it won't be much longer now to where I get to turn my attention to updating that course for y'all. I've only got a few other things left to write. And then y'all are my focus. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.